Hello, and what is going on, everyone? I hope you're doing good. I hope things have been going well. I hope your summer was fantastic. You got a lot of activities in, and you're ready to crush this fall. Welcome back to Icy Dead Pixels. It is none other, as you all know, your boy, your pal, your amigo, Colt. How's everyone doing? I hope you guys are doing good. I hope things are going well. I hope things have been going well. I apologize if it hasn't. And yeah, it's great to be back on here. Took a little break for the summer months. Just super busy at work, super busy with life and everything. But hopping back in and ready to take it on again. I guess quick life updates. I don't have any. Other than I am currently, let me back up a little bit. Over the summer, I got really into pickleball. Still very into pickleball. I'm enjoying it. It's a fun time. If you haven't played it yet, go ahead and hop on YouTube. Learn how to play. Go to Walmart. Get yourself a little $9 set and find a court. Start playing. Super fun. Played for 2 hours this morning. Great time. Great little endorphin, dopamine builder, whatever the hell you want to call it. But it was a good time. So I have started pushing myself more, and I'm in the middle of building a pickleball game for mobile right now. But as I've been thinking about it more and more, I kind of want to branch it off into, there's a mobile side, and then, which is like obviously the lighter version of the game, quote unquote lighter, but build something for the PC or with a controller, etc. Because I think the idea I have is good, and I think slated more for mobile phones. But how I'm going to have to go about it, I think would be better for a controller, if that all makes sense. So I think what I'm going to have to figure out how to do is kind of just branch it off into two separate sub projects under the same kind of category, etc. And kind of see where it goes. But we're still going, we're ripping and roaring. It's been a lot of fun kind of getting back in and starting to starting to learn more features and whatnot, and really getting back into the swing of all that. Part of the reason why I haven't been able to record and whatnot is I've been trying to relearn and a lot of coding things. And I think I kind of went dormant on a lot of that stuff. And this, I've figured out a little bit more of a routine of sticking to around 30 minutes, but underneath an hour a day. At least for now, because I feel like every day I hop in and get to starting to do it, it's always, just like a marathon, always tough kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel at the beginning. And then I get into minute, 30 to 45, roughly. And I've hit a stride on something that I've kind of quote unquote unlocked in my learning and how I can implement that into the game. And I want to keep going, but then I kind of, that's where I start tailoring myself off and going to grab a shower, getting ready for bed, etc. Because now it's making me want to go back into it the next day and the day after that, and keep continuing to want to do it. Which I think is kind of a suggestion for anyone that's wanting to / needing to learn stuff that you know, in life that you need to. Go in there, set yourself a set time. You know, some days it'll be tough, but you'll be glad that it's done. Some days it'll be super easy, and then you're upset that you have to stop, but you really have to force yourself to stop. That's actually a good thing, because now you want to go back in tomorrow, and now you have something that you're looking forward to. You know, going to work now, I'm like, yeah, work kind of sucks, but at the same time, once I'm done with this, I get to drive home, and then I get to make dinner for me and Oakley and eat dinner, and then I get to go in and start working on this again. So it's something to actually start looking forward to, and I'm not kind of blowing all of it in one night, in one day, etc. I strongly think all of that is going to eventually change once I start getting the hang of things, but I think just learning with Udemy and whatnot right now to figure out how to do this stuff, this is personally, at least for me, the best approach so far that I found, because it makes me want to come back in the next day, and I'm not kind of just doing 4 straight hours on Monday and then I don't want to touch it for the rest of the week because I'm kind of burned out. So, which has totally happened before. Like I said, that's probably how I'm going to do the coding, but it's not just going to get burned out. It's something that I want to do. It's just right now I'm kind of banging my head against the wall because I don't know how to do everything. So then I need to go through the teaching process, and the teaching process part, sucks, you know. Once I get to a point where I can just sit down and just work on stuff without having to look up YouTube videos or Udemy videos and stuff like that, where at the very least, if I need to do something, I can Google it and pull up the solution right away. Then I could put on a TV show and just go to work for hours on end, and that's the part that I look forward to, you know. But yeah, things are going well. I've made a lot of improvement in the last, you know, 2 weeks now that I think I've been working on it, and I can't wait to see where it all goes. It'll be fun, and I'll be sure to be sharing with you guys. I'm hoping to start streaming it here soon. I've just kind of been hitting a groove of every night, probably about 9 o'clock Pacific time, that I go on and start working, and I think that's just too late for most people to start catching streams. So I've been kind of starting it on my own. I know people like Slacker have been complaining. I'm sorry, buddy. You will get your streams. Just, I've got to figure out the spot, you know. So that actually takes me to my next point. From Slacker is he had a little question for me a while back that I never actually got to, and now we're getting into it. So Slacker asked, this is a 3-part question, since he's playing Tears of the Kingdom. Do you think it would be fair to hold Nintendo to the same graphical standards as other developers? Do you think it would be fair to hold other companies to the same level of Nintendo programming standards or ingenuity? Do you feel like Nintendo should just do its own thing as always, regardless of graphical standards? Now, I've got a pretty middle of the road you take here. If you'll excuse me 1 second, let me grab a sip of water here. Thank you. I think I kind of have a 2-part answer. I think defining you in that question, you as in the people of the world and buying things, I think it would be fair to hold them to the graphical levels, the standards that Xbox and Sony have. I think at the same time, it would be totally fine if you are trying to hold other companies the same level of their standards of ingenuity and their thought process. The part that I think I not to get tin hatty and whatnot, with this question is, I don't really know where you draw the line of fair, you know. Personally, they're all companies, and there's a reason that you go to, ESPN, sorry. Personally, I think there's a reason that you go to Nintendo versus you go to buy a PS5 versus you go to buy a PS or Xbox. Trying to say that it's fair for companies to have any sort of standards across the board from each other, I don't think that is fair in itself. Really, the only standard should be, is there a game? You know, that's about it. I think game development as a whole, as far as how people look at it, it's more of an art form and kind of a freedom of expression. Do I think Nintendo is capable of getting the same graphical standards that, you know, Xbox and Sony have? Yes, 100%. Is there a reason that they don't? 100% as well. Do I think that Microsoft and Sony are able to figure out the same ingenuity that Nintendo has? Yes. I mean, look at the Kinect, perfect example of essentially a Wii clone. Is there a reason they don't do it? 100% as well. I think this is the great part of having multiple game companies, is you could kind of shop around for what the uses and specifications of them fit your needs the most. I mean, even just looking at the software as a whole, and not even just looking at the hardware and the consoles, if you're going to buy a multiplayer game, you're going to buy an Xbox. If you're going to buy a lighthearted slash family slash kids game, you're buying a Nintendo. You know, you're buying Mario, you're buying Mario Party, you're buying a Nintendo software. And if you're looking for an hours long single player story that you're going to get immersed in, you're going to buy a PlayStation because Sony does them the best. You know, I think that's kind of just, these are three different kingdoms, and what they have inside of them is what they have. And there's a reason that there's camps, and there's a reason that there's agreements and disagreements between the big three. Like I said, I totally think that all three could achieve the same quote-unquote standard that you ask for, ingenuity as well as graphics. Nintendo just personally doesn't think there's any reason to bring in graphics, because you know what, we can run our stuff on a lower powered system, save money, make it cost cheaper, you know, make this for kids where kids don't want to see Mario in a 4K fucking experience, because that's just going to be creepy to see this Italian man. No, they just want to see a cartoon version run around and throw his hat and jump on these Goomba mushroom things. And that's what brings, you know, enjoyment to them. And at the same time, they're going to build a tablet that has a controller cut in half, and it slides onto both sides, and you know what, you could pop those off and they Bluetooth directly to it, and that's going to be their shtick. You know, I think it's a little weird to, not weird, but I think I question why people want to try to hold Nintendo to the same graphical standards as the other two, while holding the other two to the same ingenuity standards as Nintendo, because These are all three different companies that are a democracy, and you know, you can go buy whichever one you want. And actually, this is why it's so great to have the three different consoles, because now you're just not buying the same fucking brown box thing that all three sell, you actually have options and you get to make choices, and your personality can affect that. If someone tells me, yeah, I went out and picked up a PS5, I know what kind of person they are. You know, it's just, it's such a fun console war, in my opinion, or company war even, not just console war, but company war, that you kind of get to be able to tell someone's personality and what they're about by what console they own or what they don't own. I think that's fun. I think it brings a little bit more interesting excitement to the table, and above all else, kind of throws video games into the realm of trends and social constructs and personalities and all that. So no, I don't think it's fair to try to host them all to have the same standards. There's no point in having standards. It's art. That you don't need standards for art. You just need to be able to have expression and freedom of expression. And that's what's great, in my opinion. Yeah, that's my answer. So, I hope that wasn't long-winded. I think I made my point made. If I didn't, feel free to come into the Discord, let me know, or just drop me a fabulous 5-star review and then tell me why I was wrong, and I will read it on the podcast just for you. Going in real quick about what I've been playing recently. For those people that missed it, a couple weeks ago, I took one weekend and streamed all of Spider-Man Miles Morales because I haven't played it yet. And I was getting ready for Spider-Man 2 to come out, I think, next month. Someone quote me on that. That game was fun. That game was a lot of fun. Personally, I feel like it was way too short. As far as the story goes. Now, at the same time, it was great because I could take Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday to stream the entire thing and have, you know, lots of people in there to enjoy it. And I was able to crush it in a weekend as, you know, a fun little project thing. But with that being said, I feel like they kind of sped through the story a little bit. And this isn't really anything that anyone has said differently over the last however many years since it came out. But at the same time, this makes me super excited to see what happens with Spider-Man 2. Can't wait for that. Other thing I really want to talk about is I purchased Baldur's Gate 3. And I have put a lot of time into it. It has been extremely fun. I have zero clue what I've been doing. As a lot of you know, Nick's hopped in and he's been playing it a ton. I've been trying to get help from him. He has not been helpful because he wants me to experience the story myself and enjoy it. I killed all the druids in one camp, which apparently is bad. I just killed all the goblins in another camp. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a paladin, which I'm supposed to be like a holy person who fights for religion. I don't know, a warrior of someone, but I'm killing everyone, and I don't really know where I'm at in the story. I just know I have a lot of time, and it's insanely fun. I'm enjoying myself. I feel like I have not progressed the story one bit, and any quest I have, it just turns into me killing a whole bunch of other people. So I don't really know what I'm doing, but that's where I'm at. I'm hoping to get a little bit of a deeper topic on this, hopefully next week. Hopefully I can make some more strides in it and see where I'm at. Definitely something that's going to be coming up the next couple episodes, so buckle up. Hoping that I can get our buddies Hellhound and Nick on to do a little round table and talk about it. I'm hoping I can figure out some way to stream it. Yeah, it's a ton of fun, I will say. And creating the character was crazy. There's 9 different options for genitals. I didn't even know there was 9 different ways you could have genitals, but it's wild. It's fun. It's a ton of fun. I just, it is so open world in D&D that, and I've never experienced any of this. It's a lot, but we'll talk more about it as I kind of figure out more names and whatnot. Aside from me running around and just throwing a morning star into people's faces, we'll go from there. But yeah, so that's a little roundup of what I've been doing. Last thing, we'll get into a couple, five different little gaming news things, and then we'll wrap this up, send you guys on your way, ready for next week, hopefully wanting more, and I don't drown on too much, like me learning things. So, anyways, first thing that's coming up, we know Starfield is coming out next week. A lot of people are excited. It has received an 88 on Metacritic. Some people find that low. Some people are having a lot of issues with it. Just to throw out there, I think Hogwarts Legacy was an 85 this year. So to put it in perspective, I know Hogwarts Legacy was a fantastic game. So I'm excited for this to come out. I can't wait for it to hit Game Pass day one. I'll definitely have it downloaded. I'll probably pre-download it this week and check it out and see how it goes. Should be a good time. And like I said, something that we'll talk about later on this week or next week as well. Going back to Hogwarts Legacy, apparently Hogwarts Legacy 2 has been leaked with a new rumor making its rounds online that it's already started to be in development, and it is coming full steam. Hogwarts Legacy has been the best-selling game of 2023 so far. Probably going to keep its lead. Like I said, personally, I thought it was a fantastic game. If you have not checked out the first one, please go in there and check it out and play through it. It's just some good old fun. So yeah, hopefully we get to hear some more development about that and see that game in the future real soon. Fingers crossed with a little bit of Quidditch as well. Maybe some Quidditch online. I remember back on the GameCube, there was a EA Sports Quidditch game that was insanely fun. I wish they would remaster that somehow. Or just build a new one and play, or send, you know, sell it. Because of that game, if there was a way I could set up my GameCube and play it, I'd play it now. It's such a fun game, and it was made by EA. I mean, good time. Continuing on, apparently Red Dead Redemption 3 is officially in the works. I know they've been kind of riding the curtails of Red Dead Redemption 2 for a little bit now. I guess not too much. Not like GTA 5. But it's in the development. So not really much else to say about that, I guess. I don't know why that's really news. But there you go. One thing that is kind of interesting news is people have started noticing that the Nintendo Amiibo line has had a little change to its packaging. And the packaging used to mention that it is used for putting it on the Nintendo Switch console. Apparently that's been removed recently. That a lot of people are speculating that that means, since it's already been removed, that Nintendo's kind of future-proofing the Amiibo line to continue it past the Nintendo Switch for whatever the new console is going to be. But on top of that, kind of sounds like there's going to be another new console past the Switches. And there are multiple evolutions/generations. So that'll be interesting, kind of interesting play to remove that. Especially since it still has, like, 3DS on it, so kind of interesting, but I guess we'll see what happens with that. That might be a whole nothing burger, but we'll see. Last thing I want to talk about, which is kind of interesting to me, the SAG-AFTRA union for the actors are currently taking a vote on if the video game voiceover actors, video game actors as a whole, should be joining the strike. So we should be getting that news soon. New negotiations are set to begin September 26th. Excuse me. So, we'll kind of see how that goes. To me, I feel like now the signatory video game companies that are cited in the post contain Activision, Blindsight, Disney Character Voices, EA, Epic Games, Formosa Interactive, Insomniac Games, Take-Two Productions, VoiceWorks Productions, and Warner Brothers Games Incorporated. Now, a lot of those, as you can kind of tell, are companies that have kind of interchangeable. These people might also be real actors for Warner Brothers and whatnot. Insomniac makes, you know, the Spider-Man games and the eventual Wolverine game, etc. Activision, obviously Disney Character Voices. So they might have people that kind of blend between the video game acting and maybe cartoons, maybe actors, etc. Here's the thing, though. They're kind of starting to champion this, and I don't think it's going to have the effect that they think it's going to have. For those that don't know, let's say you have a game that's in development. That game's probably in development for about 5 to 10 years, okay? And the reason why isn't because, like movies, you need to shoot everything and then edit and produce it. It's you need to develop everything. The voice acting portion is actually one of the relatively easier parts to all of this. And the editing and whatnot of it is one of the relatively easier parts to this. Because, you know, let's say Take-Two goes in and starts the strike now. It's not really going to make any difference because anything that is really worth giving a shit about has already been edited and is getting ready to be produced now, and just the development's, you know, still going. But they've already done the voiceover for a long time ago. If Activision is going on strike now and those actors are voiceover actors, not actors, but voiceover. Well, okay, nothing bad about them. Anyways, those voiceover actors are going on strike now for a game that's set to be created. I mean, they could be recorded anytime within the next 5 to 10 years that the game's coming out, especially if it's a game that we haven't heard about yet. So it's not like it's really that effective that they're going on strike now. And I'm not taking the side of the companies and whatnot. It's just kind of a weird thing to add in. I mean, it's good regardless, but it's not like a huge smoking gun in my eyes. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I guess that's really it. Let me know what you guys think in the comments, and let me know what you guys think in Discord and whatnot, and go from there. But with that, I think we are going to wrap up the episode now. And yeah, it's good to be back. It's good to talk to you guys again and keep going. I hope everyone enjoys it. I hope you guys let me know what you guys are thinking about everything and any questions, comments, concerns, tips, whatever the hell you've got for me. Go ahead and let me know. Be sure to reach out in Discord or Twitter or wherever that you know me from, and tell me what you guys are thinking. I'd love to hear it and get your guys' opinion. I want to make a couple changes. We'll kind of see what those changes are on the fly. But needless to say, it was great to come back on. It was great to talk to you guys. Hoping to figure out a stream schedule official for games and game development. And go from there. And for the people that care, I will keep you updated on the pickleball game, and yeah, we'll go from there. But I think that wraps up this episode, everyone. I am glad you stuck around to hear it. Thank you deeply. I hope you have a great day, a great night, a great week, a great month, wherever the hell you are. I hope it's great, everyone. I hope you're hopping out there with your best foot forward and you just keep crushing it like I know you are. Thank you for listening. And until next time, cheers.